Rock the Lakefront June 13th and 14th as Racine Harbor Fest returns for two unforgettable days of live music, mouthwatering food, and nonstop fun. Advance tickets $8, VIP tickets still available online at racineharborfest.com.
I'm Heather Bosch. In custody, a man accused of planning destruction at a U.S. embassy. CBS's Linda Gradstein reports.
Joseph Neumeier, a dual U.S.-German citizen, arrived in Israel in April. The Department of Justice said that last week he went to the branch of the U.S. embassy in Tel Aviv carrying a backpack. He approached a guard and spat on him. When the guard attempted to detain Neumeier, he fled the scene but left his backpack containing several Molotov cocktails.
He was caught, extradited to the U.S., and FBI agents cuffed him as he arrived at Kennedy Airport today in Gaza. That is not heard enough. Trucks carrying food and other relief. The head of the UN World Food Program, Cindy McCain, tells CBS's Face the Nation.
Right now, we have 500,000 people inside of Gaza that are extremely food insecure and could be on the verge of famine if we don't help bring them back from that.
Despite a prisoner of war swap, there's little hope of a ceasefire in Ukraine, where Russian drones and airstrikes pounded Kyiv overnight. The BBC's James Waterhouse.
Explosions could be felt in this central part of the city. You could see drones being intercepted in the skies. You could hear 50 caliber machine guns shooting upwards to try and take out some of the dozens of Russian drones that were aimed at this city. But more broadly, the Air Force is saying more than 360 drones and missiles were launched last night. That is the single biggest number yet.
To the U.S. budget, a handful of Senate Republicans are already threatening to vote no if there aren't changes to the bill that just narrowly passed the House. CBS's Linda Kenyon explains.
The sweeping bill containing President Trump's domestic policy agenda passed in the House by just one vote. That's why Speaker Johnson on CNN said the Republican-led Senate shouldn't mess with it.
I have a very delicate balance here, a very delicate equilibrium that we've reached over a long period of time, and it's best not to meddle with it too much.
But Wisconsin Republican Ron Johnson, also on CNN, said the House hasn't cut spending nearly enough.
I think we have enough to stop the process until the president gets serious about spending reduction and reducing the deficit.
It's estimated this bill will add trillions to the national debt. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
The Pacific Coast Highway in the Malibu area has reopened following massive wildfires in and around Los Angeles.
We were super excited to hear that the PCH is back open. We used to come here every weekend.
The wildfires in January burned for weeks, causing billions of dollars in damage. Repairs are still being made. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. A group of Pierce County residents is pushing back against the expansion of Ridge Breeze Dairy. It would quadruple in size. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Local business owner Larry Brenner says his home, land, and business is about a mile below the hill the dairy sits on. He says that makes him and tributaries like the Rush River that runs next to his property especially vulnerable to things like manure runoff and accidents.
That river is where my grandpa's land flowed through. So the fact that I now have a piece of that river flowing through my property, it's very special. And boy, it's threatened.
Brenner says the expansion could result in almost 80 million gallons of untreated manure annually, potentially affecting water sources and causing increased odor issues and noise from hundreds of manure trucks. Janelle Ludwig Krause with Grassroots Organizing Western Wisconsin lives about 20 minutes from Ridge Breeze. Krause's mother has terminal cancer, and she lost her brother to depression 8 years ago. She said when she learned that these conditions could be caused by exposure to carcinogens, like those used to treat manure, she was horrified.
Manure contains large amounts of nitrogen, which is a probable carcinogen. The odors that come from the manure can increase anxiety and depression, and this really hit me close to home.
Grow Wisconsin says they expect the expansion will be paused until the contested case hearing is resolved. In the meantime, they will continue to work with local communities to get more operations ordinances passed to help better regulate the agribusiness. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, a low around 44. Memorial Day Monday, sunshine with a high near 58. Monday night, clouds and 48. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, some afternoon showers possible with a high near 58. Tuesday night, rain likely and 50.
Currently, 66 degrees.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Todd Alba will be here to break down all the news of the weekend. Kathy Giorgio, whose book has been banned in Waukesha, will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome in to the Civic Media Spotlight. First up, we'll hear a segment from Matinair on Air. And this week, Jane and Greg welcomed on Missy Hughes, Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation Secretary. Missy explains the concerns she is hearing from Wisconsin business owners regarding the tariffs being imposed by President Trump. She also discusses a trip she took with Governor Evers to Europe for a convention where they met with world business leaders to entice them to invest in Wisconsin. This is a two-part interview. Stay tuned after the break for the second part.
Jane! Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. After the 10:30 news, we're going to lighten things up. Beth Heidorn from the Racine Zoo is going to be joining us to talk about that wonderful facility, and they also have a new resident.
Ooh.
That I believe they're going to have a naming contest for. So we'll talk about that. And we'll end the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Hold the Onions edition. But right now, though, we're going to talk about more serious subjects. Missy Hughes is the Secretary for the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Good morning, Missy. Thank you so much for joining us. So it's my understanding that you and the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, you traveled around the state recently talking to folks about tariffs and what this is going to do to them, and especially to Wisconsin small businesses. So can you share a little bit, Missy, what you heard as you were traveling around Wisconsin?
Well, I'm hearing from all of Wisconsin's businesses, whether small or large, real concern over the tariffs and the impact that not only the tariffs will directly have on their businesses with increased costs, but also the potential impact on the economy in general and causing a slowdown in the economy that will impact all of our businesses.
I am curious if anyone you have heard from have said, have repeated Donald Trump, who said that companies pay tariffs, China will pay the tariffs, and then until, Friday, when he essentially said, yeah, Walmart should eat the tariffs because, you know, rather than pass the cost on to the consumers. So for me, that was the clarification that Americans are the ones who take the hit for tariffs. Do people understand that when you're talking to them?
Well, certainly the businesses are really the first line of understanding that. So let me give you an example. We have a coffee company located here in my town, Wonder State Coffee, that imports coffee from all around the world. And when the tariffs hit, Wonder State had containers of coffee on the, on the ocean. And in order to bring those containers of coffee onshore and bring them to Wisconsin and process them here, they had to pay the tariffs. And, you know, that's not the country of Ethiopia or Colombia paying those tariffs. It's Wonder State. And they're trying to understand, how does this impact our business? Do we have to increase our cost to the consumers? Do we not hire the people we were thinking about hiring because we're in the middle of, they're growing like crazy, but they're really concerned, you know, maybe we can't hire. maybe we have to charge more for our coffee in our shops or to our customers.
Well, and it is this uncertainty, and we've talked about this a lot. This causes problems for businesses large and small, as you've talked about, if you want to expand, if you want to hire. And the deals that we have right now are only temporary. So the deal that we have with China is only for 90 days. So how do you, now I get to plan for 90 days and then I have to wait and see what Donald Trump does next. And then we could have to, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. That's got to make people crazy.
Well, think about our small Main Street businesses. I've talked to restaurants that are already looking at increased costs. They're hearing from their distributors, from Cisco, you know, we're going to have increased costs for your plasticware, for your paperware. Those costs are happening right away. We have small retailers who only keep a few weeks worth of inventory. That's all they can afford to keep, you know, in their shops. And they're looking at July and August, their busiest times of the year, and saying, you know, I'm going to have to pay more for that inventory when it comes across in a few weeks. How am I going to afford that? How do I make it through the summer? Like all of our Wisconsin businesses that operate, you know, on our main streets, they're headed into the busiest season of the year. And with this uncertainty, they don't know what's going to happen.
We had the owner of Moore Bakery on, I believe it was last week, and she was talking to this thing right here, is that she has a very limited amount of supplies, and she actually cuts deals with her customers to say, if you order ahead of time and then I know exactly what I want, I'll give you a discount. If you don't, I have to charge you more because I don't know what you want, and therefore I have to plan for the unknown. And it's that sort of uncertainty that businesses do not like and enjoy. And I have to imagine with your travels around the state that it's just more of a, it's like, what are we going to do? I mean, I'm sure there are people who are frustrated, but it's just like, we just need some help. We just need some advice and guidance. And I feel like WEDC is there to help and guide, but from a nationwide level, there's not a lot of guidance. It's just roll with the punches.
And how cool is it that this bakery is trying to think about how can I manage around this uncertainty? How can I be creative and innovative? You know, we saw our businesses do that during the pandemic. They were incredibly innovative with curbside pickup. And you know, think about all the crazy things that our businesses did. But they're tired.
Yeah.
And having to do this kind of work day in, day out. And if you think about a bakery, I don't know about you, but I consider a bakery kind of a luxury moment, right? And the customers are going to start thinking, well, maybe we won't have those extra muffins at our breakfast, or maybe, you know, I won't stop and pick that up. And all those little, somebody described it to me the other day as death by a thousand ducks nipping at you.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just, it's incredibly hard for these businesses. They're in a tough situation as it is. They're rolling up their sleeves, they're persevering day in and day out, but the ongoing uncertainty and, you know, planning for 90 days out, whether there's a deal or not a deal, is just incredibly hard.
I'm a small business owner as well. And one of the things that we talked about when we spoke to Will Sue, who is a ginseng farmer here in Wisconsin, is that what people don't realize is that small businesses from the beginning of the 20s, we got hit with the pandemic. Well, actually before that, the first tariff war, and then the pandemic, and now this. And it just seems like we're always trying to, we're trying to take off that mountain to be better and better. And there's always something holding us back. And it's no one wants a handout, but we just want some help. And what does the WEDC do to educate and find resources for those who are trying to just, you know, maybe it's finding grants or whatever? What does the WEDC do in that vein?
Well, you know, we really found that during the pandemic, we can be a trusted source of information for businesses. And that is our goal, first and foremost, right now, to have the information for businesses to understand what's the current state of affairs and how can we help make sure that you know what is truly happening right now and how to find your way through the kind of, you know, incredible amount of misinformation and true information that's happening. So that's what we try and do first and foremost. But I love that you brought up Will, because another thing we do is really help businesses explore other markets, so export markets. So I was actually just in China at the end of March talking about Will's incredible ginseng and how much China wants that ginseng. That's his primary market for American ginseng and especially Wisconsin ginseng. And so helping our companies reach different markets and think about how do I grow, how do I build that resiliency is something that's really important to WEDC. But, you know, the ginseng market is something that you really see caught in the middle of this tariff war and this ongoing trade war. And it's crazy because it's such an opportunity for us to be able to export ginseng to China and have a great market there. And we want to preserve that.
Well, and for folks who don't realize, and maybe you missed our conversation with Will Hsu, but Wisconsin is one of the main exporters of ginseng. That is a big business here in Wisconsin.
And it is the most desired and most the highest quality ginseng in the world. And so we want to make sure that it's able to be shared throughout the world.
And it's really labor intensive, too. It is. It's good heavens. They sing to those plants at night before they tuck them in. Missy Hughes is here. She's the secretary of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. And they have been traveling around the state talking to big businesses, small businesses about the state of affairs and the uncertainty surrounding the tariffs. Missy, during the pandemic, Governor Evers focused a lot on Main Street and keeping Main Street businesses alive. For people who may not realize, what part of the economy do small businesses play in Wisconsin's overall economy? How important is small business?
Well, people will often say that small businesses are the backbone of the economy. And I almost feel like it sounds trite. They are incredibly important, not only for the communities where those small businesses are located, but we all want to live in business in communities that are thriving, and that attracts big businesses. So without those small communities, without thriving Main Streets, people don't want to live here. They don't want to come and live in Wisconsin. So not only do they provide important tax revenue on a day-to-day basis, but they make the quality of life that we experience here in Wisconsin so valuable for the rest of the economy because they create this place where we all want to live. I also am often reminded about how important small businesses are for teaching people about business, for kids who get to work in those small businesses. I just had a conversation with Blue Dog Cycle here in Viroqua, and they're talking about how the kids who come in and learn to work on their bikes, many of them have become mechanical engineers and other types of engineers because they love working with their hands. And they actually want to have like an alumni meeting of Blue Dog Cycle to be able to recognize how important it is that the kids who worked there have gone on to do things, great things with their life. And kids learn the importance of family businesses, of showing up, of working hard, of representing the business really well. So small businesses have this impact not only in tax revenue, but in the ongoing ripple effect that they have throughout the Wisconsin economy.
We hear so much about Wisconsin population and Wisconsin's population is not growing like we would like to see it grow and we need more people to move here. What would help the environment in Wisconsin to get more small businesses to relocate to Wisconsin, do you think?
Well, we really see that Wisconsin is actually trending positively. We had an increase in the number of people moving to Wisconsin. Unlike our neighbors in the Midwest, lots of states in the Midwest are losing people. We're gaining people. And we need to recognize that that's because we have these really vibrant communities, because we have great education systems, and we need to keep investing in those systems, in our housing. And I think that's what's really going to keep people here. If you can't keep people, you can't attract people. And so we have to see it that way, that how do we support our communities and how do we make sure that this is someplace where people want to live? It's affordable housing, it's good schools, it's good roads, it's all of the things that are basic to Governor Evers' platform and the work that he's doing to make sure we're continuing to invest in our state.
That was one of my questions I wanted to ask too. I mean, we have to go to a break in a little bit, but we do want to talk about the op-ed piece that you and Governor Evers did put in the Wisconsin State Journal as well, talking about a trip overseas to Europe to attract business to Wisconsin and watching a trade or tariff war unfold in real time before your eyes. So
we're going to continue our conversation with Missy Hughes, the secretary of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Senator Tammy Baldwin presses EPA head Lee Zeldin on Great Lakes funding at a hearing on Capitol Hill. The exchange came just 1 week after Clean Wisconsin, the Healing Our Waters Coalition, and Alliance for the Great Lakes met with Baldwin to stress the importance of fully funding the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. Zeldin ended up going on record saying the protections would be funded. Wisconsin's muskie season is here. Northern muskie season opens May 24th and runs through the end of the year. This is the 70th anniversary of the muskellunge being proclaimed our official state fish back in 1955. The biggest muskie ever caught was in 1949 near Hayward, weighing in at more than 69 pounds. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. We continue now our segment from Matt Nair on Air, where they interviewed Missy Hughes, Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation Secretary. In this segment, she discusses an op-ed she wrote with the governor about the tariffs imposed by President Trump. To listen to all of the shows featured on the Civic Media Spotlight, download the Civic Media app, available on the Google Play or Apple App Store, or listen to the shows after the fact as a podcast at civicmedia.us on Spotify or Apple Music. Now, here's Matt Nair on Air.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, you can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by Missy Hughes, the Secretary of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation.
Yeah, and Missy, we mentioned it before in the previous segment, but you and Governor Evers wrote an op-ed, which appeared in the Wisconsin State Journal yesterday, titled "Trade Missions Strengthen Wisconsin's Global Ties in Uncertainty." And the background is that you, when we were first reaching out to you to be on the show, you and Governor Evers were overseas on a trade mission. You wanted to, the goal is to attract businesses to Wisconsin. And you talk to all different kinds of businesses of all different types of what, you know, the businesses they're involved in. But while this is happening, Trump's tariffs, that announcement happens. And it seems from when reading this article, it's like you're looking at your phones going, what is happening right now? How do we, but also you're talking to these groups about bringing business here. It reminds me of a movie where like someone said something really offensive in the background. They're going, well, we got to get going, looking at their watches. We got to get good. I mean, how did that, first of all, what was that like for you to see that? And also how was the interactions then after that to say, no, Wisconsin's still great. Come here. Talk to us. We are here for a reason. And you said that you were the only ones from Wisconsin in at that conference.
Well, we had the opportunity to take a few Wisconsin companies to Germany to be able to visit a huge advanced manufacturing convention. And while we're there, not only are we trying to create opportunities for the companies that we take, but we're also talking to companies and countries that are interested in investing in the United States. Remember, the United States is the largest market in the world, and there's such huge opportunity. But our friends and our partners there were looking and saying, what's happening? I thought we were friends. It's, you know, it's like it, for you, Greg, you know, it's like you walk into a party and everybody's looking at you like,
what,
you know,
did I do?
You kind of smell.
Am I wearing white after Labor Day? What's happening right now?
But, you know, it's amazing the opportunity that it's offered by personal contact and by standing there and saying to them, yep, it's a little hectic right now, but Wisconsin is steady as she goes. It is a great place to land your business. And if you choose to come to Wisconsin, we will do everything we can to support your success. And it's amazing how much that kind of personal opportunity and personal connection can really help to soothe some of the uncertainty that people are seeing and really experiencing. It's really hard when, you know, I know that the Germans have been incredible longtime partners, and they're like, we weren't taking advantage of you. We thought we were working together. Why are you saying these things and emphasizing to them, like, you know, we are here to be your partners, to support your success, and what can we do together in the face of all this uncertainty and crazy? How do we work together and how do we move forward together? So it's a real actual opportunity to shake hands, to remind everybody that there are opportunities around business connections and student exchanges and cultural connections that we can make that kind of can live below the political, madness, for lack of a better word. Yeah.
But I would think, too, that any possible new connections or new interest in moving a business here from overseas, that's got to be in their minds. That's got to be, well, we're going to hang back and wait and see what happens. Right.
For sure, Jane. The response that we were seeing was not only, we don't know what the tariffs are, we don't know what this, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow, this is super uncertain, but also, again, what's going to happen with the overall economy? Are we headed into a recession? How can we assure success? And we are going to wait and see to what happens. And that's really hard to hear, especially when we had been on an incredible growth trajectory. Wisconsin's economy is incredibly strong. We saw really positive things happening. Why can't we keep that trend going?
Yeah, Wisconsin, and I've said this many times, we've said this many times on the show, Wisconsin fared much better than many other states during the pandemic. And a lot of that I credit to Governor Evers and his focus on Main Street businesses and helping keep them alive.
For sure. Working with Governor Evers during the pandemic, he was constantly asking me, Missy, what's happening on our main streets? How do we support our small businesses? How do we make sure they have what they need to keep going? And but the same for me and for Governor Evers, we look at business large and small and say, how do we make sure they're successful, and really rolled up our sleeves to be as responsive as we could be during a really uncertain time.
In the 2 minutes we have left, I just want to ask a really quick question for those who aren't business owners but are concerned. What can our listeners, viewers, what can they do to help? Of course, go there and patronize the business. But is there anything else we can do on this front to at least educate ourselves?
Well, I think really understanding the challenges that businesses are facing and thinking about how can I support them. But Greg and Jane, I don't want to gloss over. Shop local,
yes.
Work with those communities and those businesses, walk up and down your street and think, how can I, patronize this business? Let's go and have a dinner there. Let's order a pizza from our local folks, whatever we can do. That if your listeners can focus their efforts there, it's going to help Wisconsin in many, many different ways.
Missy Hughes is the secretary for the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. We will include the article that you and Governor Evers wrote in our show notes. If you ever want to check out the show notes, just go to our website, civicmedia.us, click on shows, go to Matt and Air on Air, and there will be at least 100 prior shows with all of Greg's show notes and all of the links in those articles. Missy, thank you so very much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
News is coming up next, and when we return, we're talking all things Racine Zoo. Stay here. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt and Air on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 9 to 11. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A 28-year-old man with German and U.S. citizenship was taken into custody at New York's JFK airport today for allegedly trying to firebomb the U.S. Embassy branch in Tel Aviv, Israel. Reporter Linda Gradstein from Jerusalem.
He was arrested after he spat on a security guard and tried to flee, leaving a backpack with Molotov cocktails.
A humanitarian crisis is growing in Gaza because of a lack of food. World Food Program Director Sadie McCain was interviewed on CBS's Face the Nation.
What I do know for a fact is that we need food to get into Gaza to avoid an utter catastrophe.
After the holiday weekend, the Senate will begin considering the spending bill that narrowly passed the House last week. Speaker Mike Johnson also on Face the Nation.
I think arguably it's the most consequential legislation that Congress will pass in many generations, and it's a long time coming.
Johnson has urged GOP senators to make few changes to the bill. CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers leave PNC Park with a W. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, a back-and-forth game today at Pittsburgh's PNC Park. The Brewers on top with a 6-5 win over the Pirates. Trevor McGill with the save in the ninth inning, able to get the Pirates' Adam Frazier to ground out after Frazier had two singles, a double, and three runs batted in. So the Brewers split the four-game series, two games apiece with the Pirates. Tomorrow, the crew will be at home at American Family Field to open a three-game series against the Boston Red Sox. Game time on Memorial Day, 1:10. Scheduled to throw out the first pitch, Packers quarterback Jordan Love. The Packers begin OTA practices on Tuesday. Racing, Indy 500 with its first ever winner from Spain with just 14 laps to go and low on fuel. Alex Palou passed Marcus Ericsson for the lead on turn two and took the checkered flag. The race start time delayed by wind and showers earlier today in Indianapolis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, a low around 44. Memorial Day Monday, sunshine with a high near 58. Monday night, clouds and 48. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, some afternoon showers possible with a high near 58. Tuesday night, rain likely and 50.
Currently, 66 degrees.
As you celebrate the liberty that every American enjoys, take time to remember the sacrifices that have made this liberty possible. Freedoms have been won and defended at a very dear cost. This Memorial Day tribute is made possible by Machine Shed Restaurant, who are dedicated to the American farmer, a farm-to-table experience that exceeds expectations. Open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Machine Shed at I-94 and Highway 164 in Pewaukee.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The independent state legislature theory met a skeptical U.S. Supreme Court in 2023 in Moore v. Harper, a North Carolina gerrymandering case. The Michigan GOP tried to employ the fringe theory to undo Michigan's Question 2 citizen ballot initiative, but the U.S. Supreme Court refused the case May 19th. Proponents argue the independent state legislature theory gives legislatures ultimate power over federal election rules based on a widely dismissed interpretation of the election clause of the U.S. Constitution. In North Carolina's case, the legislature admitted it gerrymandered but said it had the final say and the courts and governor had no jurisdiction. In 2022, Michigan's Promote the Vote Question 2 ballot initiative passed 60% to 40%. It enshrined multiple voting rights in the state constitution, including 9 days of early voting, guaranteeing the right to vote without harassment, offering a permanent vote-by-mail list, and mandating drop boxes and several other important voting reforms. 11 GOP legislators tried to invalidate the ballot question using the ISL theory. They argued that only the state legislature could make election law, not those pesky constituents. The Michigan Supreme Court dismissed the case in April 2024, and on May 19th, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear the case. We have more on ISL and the Michigan case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a very special Memorial Day episode. We talk to Jeremy Lyon from the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs on our cemeteries, honoring our veterans, and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We return you now to the Civic Media Spotlight. And now we'll head up to the Fox Valley for a segment of Mino and the Mayor. Jim and John this week welcomed on Jessica Williams and Jessica George to discuss their military experiences and women's unique roles in service. They also explained their mission to educate communities about female veterans' contributions and challenges, emphasizing the need for better reintegration support for all military veterans and additional support for military families.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a Wednesday morning. Special thanks to Nick Slepsky, Farmers Market, Cheese Curd Nick. He will be in action this afternoon starting at 3 o'clock on Broadway Street, the very first Farmers Market of the year. And you know what? We were talking about how nasty it was out there. We just had two ladies walk in, Jessica and Jessica, and they're just wearing like tank tops and shorts. And they're like, what are you talking about? It's right. Like 74 out here right now.
20 years in the military. They're tough. They're like, tough. We're wimpy here.
And Jessica's, I'm from Alaska. I can handle this. Hello, we're going to have Jessica 1 and Jessica 2. Jessica Williams and Jessica George. How you doing, ladies?
Doing great. Thanks for having us on the show.
This really is so awesome. Yes, this is a local combat veterans segment. Veteran Salute, brought to you by the Olson Legal Group. Well, go ahead, whoever wants to jump in first, and let's talk a little bit about the wonderful things that you guys are doing for female veterans, which I think never get enough credit. So whoever would like to jump in, you go right ahead and talk about the great things.
Great. Yeah, we're really excited to serve the local community and help women veterans understand like their commitment and their connection to each other and to the community. So we do a lot of speaking. This just last couple of weeks ago, we did a kind of a meet and greet question and answer situation with the Little Chute High School, which was an awesome. incredible meeting. And we got to meet some really great people and we reached out to a lot of women. And we also have a focus in sort of development and leadership and helping women understand that they can make the world around them a better place. And we also explain a lot of things about how veterans interact with their communities and what they can expect if they decide to join the military, especially when we talk to younger women.
Awesome. Is that a little bit of your goal then? Is a little bit of a recruitment or is it more education?
No. It's just educational purposes. We're not interested in trying to persuade anyone. Oh. We just want to kind of share our stories, sort of the good, bad, and the ugly, and let people know what it was like being a female in the United States military, Air Force for me, Army for Jess. For me. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, every time I speak, I always mention this. I swear, every time. We don't give the female enlisted enough credit. We just don't, because when my little trips overseas, they were outside the wire. They're going into little villages in Baghdad. They're working with the civilians in a way that the men could not. And I saw it firsthand. The women and the kids wanted nothing to do with the guys, but as soon as the female soldier walked in, they would run up. They're armful of kids hugging and things like that. And they got so much more information in doing it that way than the men could. Wouldn't you guys agree?
I would agree with that. What do you think, Jess?
Yes.
Yep. I think it's a really important aspect of kind of female involvement in the military, not just in the military, but I think in humanity in general. The human side of women is a little bit easier to, I think, relate to, especially in a softer sense. It's important.
For a kid.
I mean, for sure.
I thought you were talking about husbands.
Whoa. If you're talking to anybody over the age of 21.
I think those guys need a script.
No, I would agree with you that, if it's human nature or what, but I think children are very attracted to a mother figure.
Sure, it's very comforting. But, right. I mean, there's definitely a time and a place for, a male influence in a child's life. Absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about your experience just in general? You said, what, 22 years?
22 years, United States Air Force, active awesome. Duty. I retired in 2018. I joined, I was living in Chicago. Traveled the world. I have four daughters. Two of them were born in England. Wow. I adopted another one of my daughter's friends, and she's my kid. And my youngest daughter just graduated high school, Appleton West.
Awesome.
And just finishing up raising kids. And I got two granddaughters. So my time in the military, I lived in England for a few years. I've been to Afghanistan, Iraq, Kuwait, and Bosnia as far as deployments go. I was a helicopter mechanic in special operations for 15 of my 22 years. You know, lived a life, my hair on fire, traveling around the world and seeing a bunch of stuff. But
where were you in Iraq and Afghanistan?
I was in northern Iraq at Erbil. Erbil was the first, is now an international airport. We've built it up since then. Okay. But I was there way before that when it was just a couple of police officers and some chicken wire.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then where in Afghanistan?
In Afghanistan, I was at Bagram, which is the
big base.
Big base, center for the entire operation. So I did a lot of work out there.
Okay, I have to ask you. So when I was over there, middle of the night, my hooch was right next to this one area that had cyclone fences all around it and a gate that you could not get into this one little place. And I'm not even joking about this. I thought that's maybe where they held detainees.
You know, sure.
But it wasn't. It's where the special ops guys stayed.
That's where all the snake eaters are.
Yes. But it's like you don't even talk to them. They just do their own thing. Middle of the night, you'd hear a helicopter take off. And right before as the sun was coming up, the helicopter would land. And it's like, don't ask those guys where they've been, what they've been doing. So were those the guys you dealt with?
That certainly. I was maintenance on those types of helicopters.
Wow.
Yeah. So we had a very tip of the spear opportunity to be involved in the wartime effort over there.
That's cool.
It was pretty neat.
That's cool. How about you, Jessica?
My story is completely different. I did reserve Army for 9 years and human resources.
4-3-2 or?
No.
Okay.
646 Regional Support Group, Training Division in Fort McCoy. I also did a career counselor as well as Postal Operations.
Okay.
In 9 years, never deployed. Mine's all been stateside. And that's part of kind of like why we're doing the veteran story is that we each have a story and a different path that took us.
Awesome.
And every veteran that has enlisted has their own reasons of enlisting, as well as whatever direction has taken it.
And maybe things have changed, but I will say this. You said you didn't deploy or whatever. Once you raise your hand and say you're ready, willing, and able, okay, and they swear you in, whatever you said you wanted to do is 90% out the window, right?
Yes.
I mean, guys that said, I definitely want to go. I want to go to Iraq. And they were at Fort Riley for the entire time. And other people like, man, I just want to get my thing. I'm getting college credits. And they were on the front lines when they were at promise. So isn't that the case? So you just never know once you're in what's going to happen.
That's very true. I put on my dream sheet. When you go through basic training and you get through your tech school where they train you how to do your job,
yeah.
You can tell them where you want to go as far as being stationed, right?
Right.
So, and I scrawled on the top of my page, you know, no overseas. My first set of orders was to get a Dina, Japan.
Exactly.
They were like, thank you for playing, but we're going to send you where you
exactly.
want.
Tell me about your path, Jessica, too, was some counseling and stateside. Did you go in as a helicopter mechanic? Did you like that when you were a kid in high school, or did they put you to that?
Actually, I got fairly lucky. I went in open general, which meant I went in under the guise of you can make me do whatever you want. So I could, in the Air Force, I wouldn't have been, you know, standing out in the grass with a gun.
Right.
However, I could have had any number of jobs, and I ended up with maintenance. I was pretty mechanically inclined, even from a very young age. And the Armed Forces Vocational Battery Aptitude Test, right? Oh, my gosh, I can't believe I remember that acronym. I need to retire. that tests your abilities across a certain number of areas, and they found out that I was pretty good at mechanics. And it actually ended up being an incredible fit for me because I did love working with my hands, and so that job actually ended up being a perfect fit for me. I loved it.
Jessica George, who just spoke, and Jessica Williams in the house right now. Veteran Salute brought to you by Olson Legal Group.
I think we should do more of that, whether they're going into the military or not, with some kids in certain grades, because there's kids that have an aptitude for mechanics, for engineering. We've had engineers in here, and yet their parents, you got to go to college and get a liberal arts degree. It's like, that's not for everybody, you know, and I just think that's awesome that you took the test. And did you take the same test in the Army?
I did. And it's interesting that you mentioned that. I did college first. So I said, no way in hell was I going to join the military. So I enlisted after college. And so technically I should have gone as an officer route. And that's why I went in the HR department, because everyone just assumes that you're infantry and that your one and only job is to, you know, shoot things. Right. But mine role was more so making sure that all the soldiers were taken care of, that they're getting paid, that their families are taken care of. And so the career counselor role was later on in my career to actually help the soldiers to determine why they should reenlist.
But another part that you just mentioned, we have a young lady that comes in here, Nicole Stockman out at UW Green Bay. She runs a veteran service office. And she was talking about, she was 21. She wasn't in the military, but she was married to a career military for 21 years. And she talked, like what you said about placement and families and things, she'd get a phone call from her husband and be like, hey, pack up, we're going to Japan.
Wow, yeah.
And, you know what I mean? And it's like, if they didn't have somebody like you, wow.
I'll tell you, being on the ground and in Afghanistan on the ground, Jessica, she was my savior. Every time, because we had to be responsible for filing our own travel vouchers and taking care of our own pay. We didn't know what we were doing. And we were like, man, please, somebody help us. Wow. And Jessica was her particular MOS in the Air Force. We call it an AFSC, but her particular job was the most valuable. In fact, I would always seek her out and say, come, a person in her role, come and speak to my airmen, come and speak to my soldiers and tell them how to manage their stuff, how to manage their career, because it was absolutely instrumental. Sure, we can do the deployment stuff on our heads easily, but the job that's really hard and the one that's really, really behind the scenes is the things that Jessica did. And
mentally, that takes that strain away from the people that got some other serious things on their mind.
Absolutely. When I'm too tired to fire on my travel voucher because I've been working 18 hours and we're fixing helicopters and I need to have somebody help me through it because I can't see straight anymore. Yeah. Jessica's the type of person that I would have definitely leaned on at that time.
And Jessica, that's a great program, if you will, lack of a better word. But coming back, how was your readjustment? Because we have people on here that aren't real happy about the support they got coming back into the civilian life. And you guys seem like you're very well adjusted, but do we have...
Well, we wear it well.
Yes. I think we've all had our own challenges. Interestingly enough, my career was actually helping our service members transition. So previously working for the state and as a National Guard contractor, I actually helped to write resumes and those service members...
That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about.
Back
yeah.
on track.
Which is important. Let me just throw this out there and tell me, when we had a guy in here yesterday or 2 days ago, Don Carper, his name is. He's the navigator, we call it, at Veterans Village, okay, in Alton. And it was shocking at times how these guys would come in who fulfilled their military careers or whatever, but they didn't have a clue on the next step in certain ways. Some of the things we almost take for granted. That was important.
It really, really is important.
And absolutely. You know, there's all those programs to get, you know, apples and oranges, but let me just give you an example that I've dealt with prisoners coming back into society because they've been off the grid. I mean, these guys, there's some people that, well, now they know what cell phones are, but you guys are, we assume you're in the loop the whole time and they come back and they struggle a little bit.
Sure. Reintegration is always a struggle, actually. And it's interesting that you bring that up because my current job is I'm a reserve component transition assistance advisor. I work for the government currently. And so my job is to actually make sure people getting out and transitioning and who have questions about their benefits know who to talk to. Because honestly, there's 100 different agencies that you need to talk to about. Maybe I need to change my retirement. Maybe I want to get a education benefit. And and there's 50 different agencies that you need to talk to. And they change all the time. And you don't know who to call. And so the questions are always there. So my job is to sift through all of that red tape, jargon, which office you need to see, and find the information that you need, give you that information, and then hook you up with the right offices as a veteran so that you can utilize all of the benefits. Because we have guys, I'm in the VFW up by where I live up in Tomahawk, and I'm in the VFW. There are guys in the town that should be getting a retirement or a medical disability from their service and have never applied for it. And they're in their 60s, 70s, 80s.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, what I think is great, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Jessica, is the educational opportunities that they have. And it's incredible. And you don't have to study a certain track. You can do anything you want. You go back in horticulture. And I teach at TC, and we're getting more and more people. And it's getting paid for it. Now they got to pass the class and everything. But I just think it's too bad if somebody's sitting there bored. What am I going to do? It's like, well,
we'll help you.
Yeah. The cool thing about Wisconsin is actually we're number one in the United States for offering benefits, a military benefit.
If you're going to be a veteran, do it in Wisconsin.
Yeah, cool. Exactly.
Oh, this is interesting. Jessica Williams, Jessica George, local vets, veteran salute, brought to you by Olson Legal Group. Back with them right after this.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Summers in Worthington, Minnesota bring fun, and a good portion of that fun happens around our beautiful 800-acre Lake Okabena. Our community is built around it, and it has great walleye fishing and several lakeside parks. This June 13th and 14th, we'll have our Windsurfing Regatta and Music Festival. It's free. Come and see the windsurfers, eat from over a dozen food vendors, and attend free lakeside concerts on our professional city stage, this year featuring Viva Knievel and Cooper Allen. Check us out. We're Worthington, Minnesota, and we're certainly worth a look.
Let's pause this Memorial Day to honor the men and women who gave their lives in service to our nation.
While we think of this day as the unofficial beginning of summer, we know it is also a time of somber but inspiring memories. Memories of so many courageous Americans fought and died so that we could enjoy the blessings of this day.
That's former President Ronald Reagan. To those who never made it home, we remember you and we thank you. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wrapping up the first hour of this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we head down to Madison for a segment from the John and Gordy Show. This week, John and Gordy welcomed on their new producer, Dom Lee, who will be taking over from Sam Davison in short order. Sam makes his presence known, however, with a raucous trombone performance.
When the chips are down and democracy's back is up against the wall, two radio veterans step up to the microphone to right the wrongs, standing for truth, justice, and just because. To say what needs to be said, it's John and Gordy on 92.7 WMDX.
What a morning, what a fantastic morning, WMDX, it's John Peterson, Gordy Young, in the morning.
Hey now.
And another big day, another slew of weird news and idiocracy. It just doesn't stop, and they just passed the big bad bill.
The big bad bill?
They just passed it.
In the House.
Yeah, and this is one of those huge big bad bills. It punishes everybody. And wait till you hear what's in that damn bill. After 7 o'clock, we'll be featuring some debates. Adam Schiff and who is it?
Sheldon?
Sheldon Whitehouse. They'll be trying to get some answers from the administration department heads, and they don't get any answers.
Okay.
All right, and that's all coming up next hour. But
boy,
of course,
I can't wait.
We've got Idiocracy. We got to cover the smaller stories. But that'll be maybe after Brittany Merlot, because we've got Jim Slecker from Busted Pencils coming in at 7:35 or 6:35.
Tim Slecker.
Okay, what did I say,
we
Jim?
We really shouldn't have Jim. Booked Jim and Tim on the same day, should we?
What did I say, Jim?
You said Jim.
Jim Slecker.
I think you were thinking also Jim Santel.
Jim Santel after 7:30,
yes. Yes.
I can't keep track anymore.
I know. It's a jam-packed show.
It is. I have a routine here. But my son came up this morning, and he was telling me how the Democrats are voting and who votes more Democratic and who isn't. Okay. And he's on this thing because Gen Z's, they want to change the way the Congress works. You know, they want some youth in there. They want something better. And they don't want these old traditional voters, you know,
right.
Allowing something like this to happen.
That'll be an age limit.
Right? You know what the Onion headline that I got yesterday was?
What was that?
It was a cobweb-covered skeleton grips his desk as he claims he'll run for a 15th term in the Senate.
Oh, no.
That's good.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I love that.
That's what it's come to. Yeah. Well, so it's cloudy. It's chilly out there. 44 degrees on the WMDX thermometer right outside our window overlooking State Street. Mm-hmm. Here from the global headquarters of Civic Media. And it feels like 39 degrees. There's a little bit of a light breeze. But what would the afternoon high be today? What should we use? Which one of our many devices? Did we get the weather wheel fixed? Do you want to do that?
I think we have the weather wheel fixed up and ready to go. We haven't heard this in a long, long time.
Right, yeah. In storage. Ooh. Yeah. Well, good spin there, Sam. Yeah,
throwing off a lot of cobwebs.
And it's, what does that say? 59. That's what I'm seeing from here. Okay. 59 degrees will be the high for today. It's too bad we don't know sunrise, sunset. You don't have your watch on. Do you have that information?
Well,
handy?
I pulled up my weather app, and it's blank.
It's great.
It's not telling me. Well,
that means we're not going to have weather today.
Yes, no temperatures, no highs, no lows. Kind of calm.
What are we going to do? Well, you want
to have the National Day calendar pulled up?
Well, you know, I thought we weren't going
to
do that anymore, but I'll just mention a few things.
I wasn't
going
to do it anymore.
Wow. National Biomusical Instrument Day. No, wait a minute. National Biomusical Instrument Day.
Oh. Wow.
Sam, I didn't know you played trombone.
I sure don't.
Well, how did it get in here?
Look out. Don't hit Dominic with that slidey thing. There's no room in there for a trombone.
How did that get in there? Why do we have a trombone in here?
Every radio station has a trombone, John.
It's FCC law now. New administration. So how did you come to get that trombone if you're not a trombone player?
Well, I kind of wanted it just for the bit, you know? Trombones are just such a fun instrument. Found it on Facebook Marketplace a few months ago.
How much?
No, really.
It was half broken at the time. I fixed it up, but it was only like $30 or $40.
Wow. Dominic, do you play any musical instruments? It's National Biomusical Instrument Day.
I used to play the recorder when I was in first grade.
Oh, heck yeah.
The recorder.
Other than that, I have not touched a musical instrument since.
I used to play with my tape recorder.
Wrong recorder.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Well, do we have any history items to talk about today for May 22nd?
Oh, you know, I suppose so.
Yeah?
Do you want me to open the book?
Please open the book.
Oh, God.
No,
get ready.
Don't,
get ready.
Don't do that.
Look out, Tom.
I'm going to... He blew his nose.
I can't be in this room anymore.
He blew his nose.
What's that?
I cannot be in this room anymore.
Okay. Dom is now, he wants to get out of there.
He's kind of soured on this whole thing.
Jeez.
Gosh, I wonder what's happened in the history book that we had the trombone speak up there. This coming up here, 1992, Johnny Carson, he hosted his last show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Do you remember who was on
there? Far before I was born. So Johnny Carson is not as big of a deal to me as it is to you guys, but can you remember who was his last guest?
I don't remember the last guest.
You don't remember the singer that got on Johnny's desk?
On the desk? Was that it? Really?
Rolled around on there while she sang a song.
Was that Bette Midler?
Yes, it was.
Oh, okay.
Good call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember it. I didn't think that was the last. I know, you know, they lead up to these last shows. Yeah, I get confused.
Well, Johnny
led
up to it for a year. All the guests. Yeah.
All I remember is that Letterman didn't get it. And boy, that was
a big disappointment.
That was a controversy.
And the guy who did take over after Johnny, of course, was
Jay Leno.
And now here's Gordy.
I am so glad you had that.
Mm-hmm. My imagination, or is that some weird, weird stuff? I mean, that is weird, wild, wacky, wacky stuff.
You are correct, sir.
Little Phil Hartman.
Yeah, Dana Carvey.
Yeah.
Coming up a little bit later on, Tim Slecker will join us from Busted Pencils in just a little while. And then in our next hour, Jim Santel, attorney at law. Just getting started on a Thursday morning in beautiful downtown Madison. It's John and Gordy in your morning.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programs,
you're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll rebroadcast some recent clips as we take time off to honor Memorial Day and those whose sacrifices gave us the freedom we continue to defend.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Millions of Americans take medicine like Ozempic and Zepbound. Many of them are overpaying by thousands of dollars a year. These GLP-1 medications for diabetes, weight loss, and more may not always be covered by your insurance, but GoodRx can help. GoodRx helps you save every month on prescriptions at over 70,000 pharmacies nationwide. Best of all, it's free to use. Check GoodRx to save on GLP-1s. Just go to GoodRx.com/GLP. That's GoodRx.com/GLP. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance, including Medicare and other federal and state-funded programs.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. The Department of Justice says a man originally from Colorado was detained today at JFK Airport in New York, accused of trying to firebomb the U.S. Embassy branch in Tel Aviv last week. Reporter Linda Gradstein from Jerusalem.
Joseph Neumeier, a dual U.S.-German citizen, arrived in Israel in April. Last week, he went to the branch of the U.S. Embassy in Tel Aviv carrying a backpack. He approached a guard and spat on him. When the guard attempted to detain Neumeier, he fled the scene but left his backpack containing several Molotov cocktails.
He's also accused of making threatening posts online, including against President Trump. The director of the UN World Food Program says more aid is badly needed in Gaza.
Cindy McCain says the situation is dire at best.
We have 500,000 people inside of Gaza that are extremely food insecure and could be on the verge of famine if we